me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And this morning we're going to be talking about the rapture of the redeemed. The Bible says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. All throughout the Scripture we find that the second coming of Christ is mentioned. Now, I'd like to read to you two of those verses this morning that deals with what we would call the rapture of the redeemed. The Apostle Paul, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. And you ought to underline those words, caught up. Because that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. And it says there in verse number 17 that we're going to be caught up. Caught up together with them in the clouds, with the rest of the saved, those that have already passed away and those that are remaining. We're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord. Do you see that? To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Last Sunday morning, we looked at what the Bible had to say about the signs of Christ's coming. You know, really, all we have to do is listen to the evening news and read the newspaper, and we come to the understanding something is going on. We learned last week that there is a difference between the rapture and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Up here on this chart, we learned last week that the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation period, at the very end of what's called the church age. The revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 11 and following, deals with the time when Christ actually comes back to the earth. At the rapture, Jesus Christ just steps out in the clouds and the saved are raptured up. We're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. At the rapture, Jesus Christ is coming to reward His saints. At the revelation, Jesus Christ is coming back to judge the world. There's a big difference. There's 7 years between the two aspects of the second coming of Christ. Many people just try to make them all one. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing, that's the rapture. And His kingdom, that's the return of Christ at the revelation in Revelation 19. You see, there are two different aspects of the same coming. He's coming for the saints of God at the rapture. He's coming with the saints of God back to the earth after the tribulation period. So we learned a little bit about that last week. We learned that the Bible talked about all the different signs of His coming. We looked at the signs in Matthew chapter number 24. We looked at the signs in Luke chapter number 21. We looked at the signs in Joel chapter number 2 and Acts chapter number 2. There's a lot of signs throughout the Scripture. We looked at all of those things. According to what the Bible states, it states that there's signs all around us. And it states that even though we don't know the day or the hour, we know it's not going to be long before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And so therefore, as a child of God, I need to prepare myself. And I need to prepare my family, my children and my grandchildren. I need to prepare those friends that are around me, my other relatives, my brothers, my sisters, my nieces, my nephews. I need to do all I can to try to prepare as many people. I need to prepare our church family. I need to prepare our community. Because there is a time when the trumpet is going to sound, and I believe it's not going to be long from now. And the question is, what are you doing to prepare yourself? And what have you done to prepare your family for the return of Jesus Christ? And so we're going to be talking about the rapture of the redeemed this morning. The rapture of the redeemed. Just what is the rapture? and just what's going to take place when the rapture occurs. And that's what I want to be preaching to you about this morning. Let's bow forward to prayer, please. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before You, we do ask and pray that You'd help us today. Help us, Lord, to glean some things from Your Word. Guide and direct. We ask it in Jesus' name. Save those that are lost. And Lord, stir those that are saved. Create a fire in us, Lord, that will not go out until that trumpet sounds and calls us home to glory. Guide and direct. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to go over just four things with you. First of all, I want to go over the meaning of the rapture. What does it mean? We've heard it talked about, but just exactly what does it mean? And then the second thing we want to talk about is the timing of the rapture. And I know people are going to say, oh, preacher, you know, nobody knows the day or the hour. You're exactly right. And I don't know the day or the hour. You don't know the day or the hour. Harold Camping, we know, doesn't know the day or the hour. Amen. And he's predicted it out and how many times. Been wrong every time. And every time somebody tries to pinpoint a date, they always come up wrong. Date setters are usually upsetters. And however, even though we don't know the day or the time, Jesus said you can discern the signs of the sky. He says, why is it that you can't discern the signs of the times? And so I think we ought to, and that's just kind of paraphrasing what he said, but we ought to understand, first of all, the meaning. Number two, we ought to understand the timing of the rapture. Just exactly when is it going to fall in the scope of God's timetable for eternity? What about the event itself? When the event takes place, what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to those that are left behind? What's going to happen to this world? There's a lot of things that are going to happen when the rapture takes place. And we're going to go over that. And then the Bible tells us and He gives us a warning. So this morning, let's look at those things. First of all, the rapture of the redeemed. I want you to notice, first of all, the meaning. What is the meaning of the rapture? Well, as we look this morning, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to be bouncing around between 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you want to mark those places, we're going to be looking primarily at those passages, along with a few others. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 13, the Apostle Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." In other words, those that have passed away. "That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." You know, if a person doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, really, they have no hope. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm not talking about being a Baptist, I'm not talking about any of those things, I'm talking about being saved. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we have hope. Matter of fact, the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, there in Titus chapter 2, verse number 13. And so we have a blessed hope to look forward to. And so we have, understand that verse number 13, it says, "I would not have you to be ignorant," what's that next word? Everybody? "Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Verse 14 says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Now there's a couple key words in verse number 13. First of all, the word brethren. Secondly, I want you to notice, Paul is writing to those that are in Christ. That means saved people. And so the redeemed, the rapture, is for the saved. It's for the saved. Now, there have been people that's talked about the rapture of the church. I really believe that that is a wrong term to use. Because I know some church members throughout our world that aren't saved. And when the rapture takes place, they're not going to go. They're going to show up for church one day, and hopefully the preacher is going to be gone, and a bunch of people is going to be gone. They're going to say, "Where is everybody?" It's because, you see, they were left behind because they were not saved. The rapture of the church is really a misnomer. It is a faulty statement. It's the rapture of the saved or the rapture of the redeemed. Not every church member is saved. They say that they are, but not all of them are. And then there are some people that are saved that aren't members of a church. When the rapture takes place, you know what? If they're saved, they're going to go. Whether they're a member of a Baptist church or a Methodist church or a Lutheran church, whatever it is, you know, I believe there's saved people throughout the world in a lot of different types of churches. Now, not all churches will help them to grow in the Lord. Not all churches will teach them the truth. But we need to understand it's for the saved. Can God's people say amen?
Amen?
Amen. And if you're saved today, it's for you. And this is going to take place and you're going to be involved. The next thing I want you to notice, it means to be caught up. It means to be caught up. Now, nowhere in the Bible will you find the word rapture. Oh, preacher, that means you're teaching false doctrine. No, it is not. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it talk about, quote, the local New Testament church. But I use that phrase all the time because it is a term of identification.
Right.
You know, there's no place in the Bible that uses the word Trinity.
That's right.
Yeah. But we use the word Trinity to define the person of God. God is made up of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so therefore we will refer to the triunity or the Trinity of God. And so the term rapture means to be caught up. And that is biblical. Because I want you to notice what it says in verse number 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? That means we're going to be caught up. You say, well, preacher, that has never happened before. Really? Yes, it has. Let me give you a few instances. In Genesis chapter number 5 and verse number 24, it says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 5, it says that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You know what that means? I like the way one old preacher one time described it. He said, one day Enoch was walking with God. And they walked all day long. And the Lord said to Enoch, He says, Enoch, we've walked all day long. The day is drawing to a close. You know, we're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just come up and spend the rest of the day with me? And since there is no night there, he's still spending the day. Amen? That's a wonderful way to look at it. You know, Enoch was caught up. He was raptured up. I would encourage you to write some of these verses down. Go back and look them up. Make sure that the preacher is telling you the truth. Amen? Go look it up in your Bible for yourself. Enoch was caught up. He was raptured, if you would. What about Elijah? In 2 Kings chapter number 2 and verse number 11, we find that a fiery chariot came out of heaven and divided between Elijah and Elisha. And all of a sudden, Elisha saw Elijah go up into heaven in a whirlwind. The Bible says he didn't die. So where is he? He's in the presence of God. He's talking with Enoch. And I think he's talking with Moses and Abraham, and I think he's talking with my mom, and he's maybe talking with some of your relatives. You see, Elijah was raptured. What about the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul was stoned in Acts chapter number 15 in a city by the name of Lystra. And the Bible says when he was stoned, it is described in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 2 how he was caught up. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says he was caught up into the third heaven and he saw things that was just unlawful for him to even speak. Paul was caught up. By the way, Jesus was caught up. When he went to the Mount of Olives, and all of a sudden, the Bible says in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world." And after he got done saying that, the Bible says that he went up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And the angel of the Lord appeared and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." By the way, how did Jesus go up? He went up visibly. He went up bodily. He went up with the same body that he told Thomas. He said, go ahead and stick your fingers in my hand. Put your hand into my side. He said, flesh and bone hath not, or a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see that I have. So Jesus had a real, tangible body. It was a resurrected body. But it was real. It was something that could be touched and embraced. He ate with them. He drank beverages with them. He talked with them. It was not just a ghostly apparition just kind of floating around somewhere. It was real. And one day we're going to have a body like Jesus Christ. The angel said, as you see him go, he's going to return. Beware of those that say that Jesus has already returned. There's cults out there that say, well, Jesus Christ has already returned. It happened in 1917. And he's just returned in spirit form. And he's given our congregation the mouthpiece of God to communicate the message of God. You know what? You know how you can spell that? C-U-L-T. The Bible says when Jesus Christ returns, he is going to return in the same manner, the same fashion as he went. Even the Bible talks about in the book of Zechariah how he's going to return to the very place that he left from, and that's the Mount of Olives. And so this morning, we need to understand the meaning. The meaning is to be caught up. And even though the word rapture does not occur in your King James Bible, certainly the meaning does. That means to be caught up. I want to give you some verses. I hope you'll take some time to write these verses down. Verse number 13 through verse number 17. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. These sorrow not as even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's one of the passages that deal with the rapture. I want you to notice another passage. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 51 and 52. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I want you to notice that word, moment. That word, moment, comes from a word where we get the same word in our English equivalent of atom. It's the Greek word atomos. It means this, that which cannot be divided. Now, years ago I was talking to my uncle. My uncle was an old Pilgrim Holiness preacher. And we were talking about the Lord coming back. And he says, you know, he says when the Lord comes back, he says, I'm just going to reach out. When the trumpet sounds, I'm going to grab two sinners around the neck. And he says, I'm going to hold on. And he says, when I get about 500 foot, I'm going to go ahead and say, you need to repent or I'm going to drop you. Listen, that's not going to happen that way. All right? We're not going to end up watching them go up like that. The Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Someone once measured how long it takes for an eye to twinkle. It's 1/100th of a second. The word moment means that which cannot be divided. In other words, instantly we're here and the trumpet sounds, instantly we're standing before God. Just like that. So I hate to tell my uncle this. Of course, he already knows now he's in heaven. But you can't just reach out and grab a sinner around the neck when you get 500 foot to tell him to repent or you're going to let go. It's just not going to work that way. Amen? The Bible says in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And I'll be talking about that here in just a little bit, the last trump, what that means. The Bible says, the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. So I want you to notice another passage of Scripture. Matthew 24. This is a pretty sobering passage when you really think about everything that involves around this passage. It says, then shall be two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. Now I've heard people say, well, you know, this really doesn't apply to the rapture. And I've read a lot of commentaries, and a lot of commentaries say, well, you know, it doesn't really apply to the second coming of Christ. They're wrong. The whole context of Matthew 24 is dealing with the second coming of Christ. The very next few verses, verse number 42, it says we're to watch. For you know not what hour the Lord doth come. In verse number 44, it says, therefore be ye also ready, for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. It is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ's return. And that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ's return. The ramifications of those verses is this. Not everybody's going to be ready. And there's going to be people that are going to be near and dear to you. And they're not going to be ready. Luke says, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. Wouldn't that be horrible? A man and a wife go to bed at night, and all of a sudden, the one is awoken by the something going on, and their spouse is gone. Gone. Forever. Gone. We need to take heed to the warning. I want you to notice another passage, Colossians 3:4. Read it with me if you would, please. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Remember 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1? He's going to judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. That's the rapture. He's going to appear in the clouds. We're going to meet Him in the air. And then it says, and His kingdom. And when He returns, He's coming back to establish His millennial reign or His kingdom. Let me give you another verse. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that means the living, and the dead. Notice, at His appearing, that's the rapture, and His kingdom, that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to be ready for that. Some great verses. And you'll find over and over and over throughout the Bible, over 300 times the Bible talks about His second coming. He talks about the second coming more than He talks about the first coming. So what about the timing? What about the timing of the second coming? And I know the Bible says there in Matthew 24:36, but of the day and of the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels, but my Father only. And I realize that nobody knows the day or the hour. That is left up to the Lord. But there is some timing involved. And there are some things as we look at God's calendar of events, just exactly when the rapture is going to take place. I want you to notice, first of all, His coming is imminent. That means it could happen at any time. There's really nothing left to take place before the rapture will occur. Everything's ready. It's been ready. But we need to go ahead and we need to be ready for whenever He does come. The Bible tells us that it is imminent. Could happen at any moment. And because of that, there are several things that we need to do. First of all, everybody, we are to what? Watch. We are to watch. Now that word watch means to post a sentinel. Just as someone would go ahead and stand guard, that's what we are to do. We are to stand guard and be ready and waiting and watching for the Lord to come. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. We are to watch. The next thing I think we need to understand is this. We are to be, everybody, be ready. Let's say it together again. We are to be ready. Are you ready today? If the Lord Jesus Christ came back today, are you ready? By the way, is your family ready? If they're not ready, then you need to do all that you can to prepare them for a time that is going to be soon upon us. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So the timing of the rapture, I think this is very important. When is it going to take place? Well, we are to watch, we are to be ready. In Luke chapter number 19, and Oh, by the way, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as what? A thief in the night. The Lord is going to come back as a thief in the night. You know, people don't know when the thief in the night is going to show up. We just need to be ready for it. But I want you to notice, we are also to occupy till He comes. Luke 19, verse number 13 says, "And He called His 10 servants and delivered to them His 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come." Now, if you read the whole passage of Scripture, this is talking about the parable of the talents, which is talking about the Lord's return. And He said we're to occupy till I come. You say, "Well, preacher, that's what I'm doing. I'm just kind of sitting down waiting for it all to happen." That's not what the word occupy means. The word occupy means to be busy about your business. Getting work done. Be occupied with it. Jesus said, "Here's the talents I'm giving you. Here's a work for you to do. Now, you occupy it. You go ahead and you take care of that business until I come." You know, it's sad most Christians aren't taking care of business today. They're taking care of their own business, but not the Lord's business. We need to be busy in God's business. We need to be busy in God's harvest fields. Why? "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." Listen, there are people out there that need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and it's more important than your job. It's more important than your vacation. It's more important than all of the fun things that we do in life. The most important thing that we can do as a child of God is to point sinners to the Savior. Amen. That's what our job is. We're to occupy till He comes. Be busy about the work of God. His coming is imminent. Now, what about the timing of the rapture? There are several things I want you to notice and some verses. But before we do, we need to understand, I believe, according to what the Scripture teaches. Now, there's some people out there, they're good people. They teach a different viewpoint. My thought on that is they have the right to be wrong, all right? But I really believe that Jesus Christ is coming before the tribulation period occurs. And I'm going to give you a scripture to prove that this morning. Now, there's three views of the rapture. Three views. Number one, pre-tribulation rapture. In other words, He is coming back for His saints before the tribulation period begins. I believe, according to the Scripture, that's the position that the Bible teaches. Now, there are some people that believe in what's called a mid-trib rapture. Does that mean that they're wicked and ungodly? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It's just they take a different view on it. I believe they're going to be surprised when the rapture takes place and they're going to say, "Wow, we're here already. I thought we had to go through some of this stuff." Now, the mid-trib rapture, they base this on where the Bible says the last trump. And they think that according to when the last trumpet judgment sounds, and there are seven trumpet judgments in the middle of the tribulation period, and they think when that last trumpet judgment sounds, then they're going to end up, the rapture is going to take place. But they fail to understand what that really is talking about. The sound of a trumpet was used for a lot of different reasons. The sound of the trumpet was used, number one, for calling a solemn assembly with the nation of Israel. When it was time for church, instead of ringing a bell, how many of you ever been in a church where they had an old-fashioned bell where they rang the bell? Well, we had that over at the old church building. I like that. Some of the kids would jump out there after the rope, and they'd swing on the rope, and they'd turn the bell over, and I'd have to climb up the belfry and flip the bell back over because they'd turned the bell upside down. But, you know, we'd ring the bell when it was time for church. But the children of Israel, they had a special-sounding trumpet. And when it was time for all of the children of Israel to come together for, if you would, church, they would blow this trumpet. And everybody would go ahead and, "Hey, it's time to gather together." And at the last trump, the service would start. Also, the children of Israel, as they wandered through the wilderness, they would follow the Shekinah glory. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. And as the pillar moved, they were to follow. God would tell Moses, "Look, we're getting ready to move." A certain sounding trumpet would sound. And everybody would pack their bags, and they would be standing and waiting. And then the last trump would sound. Everybody in unison would pick up their bags and follow that pillar of fire by night or pillar of cloud by day. And as the last trumpet sounded, everybody picked up their bags and they moved to their next destination. And listen, when the last trumpet sounds, we're going to go ahead and move to our next destination. Amen? But that's not talking about the last trumpet judgment. It's talking about the call of God. And the last trump is the last trumpet of moving to heaven. Amen? So there's the mid-trib viewpoint. And then I want you to notice there is the post-tribulation. Now, here's something to consider. With the mid-trib, as soon as the tribulation period starts, we can count the months and the days, and we'd know when the rapture is going to take place, wouldn't we? With the post-tribulation, we would know there's been 7 years of tribulation taking place, and we know that it starts, and I'll explain to you when the tribulation period is going to start. It's very specific in the Bible when the tribulation period is going to start. And so we could count down the number of years, the number of months, the number of days, and we're going to say, you know what? Well, the rapture is going to take place. Well, I guess nobody would have to be ready then, right? Because everybody's going to know. So I really believe in what's called the pre-tribulation rapture. Now, let me give you a few verses. And this also, and if you keep it in context, this is dealing with the second coming of Christ. Read verse number 1 through 9 and it'll tell you that. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's something to consider, everybody. Before the flood came, what did God do? He saved the righteous family from the judgment that fell on the earth. Before the judgment of the Passover took place, and by the way, the Passover was a judgment upon Egypt. What did He do? He provided a place of safety for the children of Israel as the death angel passed over. When Sodom and Gomorrah was rained down upon with fire and brimstone, what happened to Lot and his wife and two daughters? They were taken out before the fire fell. God has not appointed us unto wrath. The tribulation period is a time when God will pour out His wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. And God has not appointed us unto that wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10, he's talking to the church of Philadelphia. And in the church of Philadelphia, which is commonly referred to as the true church, the pure church, is one of the two churches that God did not say anything about as far as them doing anything wrong. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon how much of the world? All the world, to try them that dwell on the earth. And I believe that this passage is prophetic, talking about the fact that that true church is going to be protected. It's going to end up being delivered from that hour of temptation, or in other words, that tribulation period. By the way, just a few verses later, Revelation chapter 4 starts. And John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard the voice as it were a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up hither! And immediately the Bible talks about how he was in the presence of the Lord. You realize that from Revelation chapter number 4, actually Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 20, I think it is, verse number 22, you'll not find the word church mentioned until the very last chapter of the Bible. You know why? Because those who comprise his true church, saved people, they are going to be taken out and they're not going to be here during the tribulation period. Revelation 3:10 is a promise to God's people, we're not going to be here for the tribulation period. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 9 is a promise to God's people, we're not going to be here. But it doesn't end there. In 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 9, it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. This is talking about Lot. What did he say in the book of Luke? And as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it so also be in the coming of the Son of Man. And so these are some promises that God has given us from His Word. It doesn't stop there. The pre-tribulation rapture, there are several things that we have to understand. First of all, and I'll not take time to read this whole thing, but in 2nd, yes I will. Take your Bible, turn over there, and look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. That should say 2, not chapter number 5. And I don't know why it's just a typo. Chapter 2, verse number 1 through verse number 8. Notice what it says. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. By the way, you notice the two aspects of His coming? That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. There were some people that was actually teaching that Jesus Christ already showed up and that the church of Thessalonica missed it. And the Apostle Paul was writing to them saying, you know what, the Lord is not coming back yet. Don't be troubled. Even though someone might write a letter on my behalf, I'm still here, folks. And listen, if you need to understand, the rapture is not taking place. You know how you know that? Your preacher is still here. I'm going. Amen? And so that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. He said in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. There is going to be a falling away. Now that the word for falling away there is the word apostasia. It means a great apostasy. People turning from the truth. And that's what's happening today. Very few churches will you find where they stand on the Word of God and they'll say, thus saith the Lord. And very few churches will go ahead and preach against sin. You see, there is a great apostasy that's going on. It's easier to go ahead and just, you know, preach about how to be a better mom and how to be a better dad and let's all get along, let's love one another. And certainly we're supposed to do those things, but we need to preach the whole counsel of God. So there's going to be a great falling away. That's going to happen first. It says in verse number 3, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that as God sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God. That verse right there, you can go back to the book of Matthew, talks about that which was written by Daniel, about how they entered in and set upon the temple, and the abomination of desolations. It's where the Antichrist is going to end up going into the tribulation temple. And by the way, I just got an article the other day that Brother Hittabiddle sent me, and he said that the Muslims have agreed to build or rebuild Solomon's Temple on the Holy Mount. Isn't that amazing? You say, well, could that be the Tribulation Temple? Could be. I don't know. I guess they'll find out. It goes on, it says, in verse number 5, remember ye not, that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know that, or now ye know what withholdeth. Now this is very important, I don't want you to miss this. Verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. The Antichrist is going to be revealed in his time. But there is something that is withholding the power of the Antichrist from being revealed. And I do not believe that the Antichrist is going to be made known until we're gone. It goes on, it says, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, there's been a lot of speculation on what verse number 7 is talking about. What I believe it's talking about is this. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth, and ye are the light of the world. The Bible tells us that when we get saved, that He has given us the earnest of the inheritance, which is the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells us that the saved people have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30. We are, by the power of the Holy Ghost, We are that restraining agent. Those saints of God who are serving God and filled with the Spirit of God, we are hindering the work of the devil. Amen? And we need to understand that what it's saying in verse number 7. Now, I know some people say, well, you know, when the Holy Spirit is taken out of this world, then the Antichrist is going to be revealed. There's a problem with that. The Holy Spirit's God. And one of the attributes of God is this. He's omnipresent. Psalm 139 tells us that. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I make my flight to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Listen, regardless of where we go, God is there. Amen. And so you can't say, well, you know what? When the Holy Spirit is taken out of this world, then the Antichrist is going to be revealed. However, when you say, when God's people who are sealed and filled with the Spirit of God are taken out of this world, then all of that restraining power is going to be gone. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what our government would do if there wasn't anybody on Capitol Hill saying, listen, you can't do that. It's not right. It's immoral. It's wicked. It's ungodly. It's not biblical. And the reason why we have repressed so much evil in our country is because good and godly men and women are standing up saying, you can't do that. And I'm telling you what, as soon as the rapture takes place, that good and godly influence is going to be gone. And when that good and godly influence is going to be gone, the Antichrist is going to step on the scene and say, hey, I've got the answers to all the world's problems. Look what it says in verse number 7. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, the power of Satan. Only he who now letteth will let until he, or I believe it's talking about the Spirit-filled, saved Christian, is taken out of the way. Now look at verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonder and with all deceivableness. Now notice this. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be what? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those verses are basically saying this. If God gives you a Holy Ghost opportunity to get saved now, you better get saved now. Because listen, if you wait until after the rapture takes place, God's going to send you a strong delusion, and all of a sudden the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and give an explanation why millions of Christians are gone all over the world. And everybody's going to say, you know, that's the truth. Let's follow him. And they're going to believe a lie because they had pleasure in unrighteousness and they believed not the truth. So what's going to happen? Well, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 1 through verse number 8, it's going to end up happening before the Antichrist is revealed. And then it will happen also, it will happen before the Antichrist signs a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. And there's that first passage of Scripture I have in my PowerPoint. But let me get to the second one. I've been having a little trouble with my PowerPoint, and it's stuck. There it goes. Daniel 9:27, this is a prophecy concerning the Antichrist. Daniel chapter number 9, verse number 24 through 27, deals specifically with the 70 weeks of Daniel. And it says, and he, in other words, the Antichrist, is going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And this is not, it's talking about a week of years, in other words, 7 years. It says, and in the midst of the week, that's right here, 3.5 years. 3.5 years is going to be temporary peace in the Jewish temple, and the temple is going to be rebuilt. The Antichrist is going to use it. And halfway through, he's going to go ahead and he's going to go into the temple. He's going to set upon the Ark of the Covenant and he's going to declare himself to be God. And that's when the Jewish people are going to understand this guy's a phony, because no man would ever do that. And so The Antichrist at the halfway through moves into the tribulation temple. It says he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice of oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. This is talking about the abomination of desolations. Now, a lot of people thought that this was actually fulfilled in 175 BC when Antiochus Epiphanes went into the temple during the Maccabean period. And he took control of the temple and went in and took a swine or a pig and offered a pig upon the altar. Now, if you know anything about Jewish law and Jewish custom, that was a horrible, horrible thing. And he polluted the temple by doing so. That's what it's talking about, the abomination of desolations. Not that Antiochus Epiphanes went ahead and sacrificed the swine, but that the Antichrist is going to go in. He's going to sit upon the Ark of the Covenant himself, upon the mercy seat, and he's going to say, "I am God." And the Bible calls that an absolute abomination. I didn't say abomination, did I? Anyway, okay. It says here that he's going to make the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even to the consummation, and determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. And to make a long story short out of that verse, the Antichrist is going to come, and he is going to confirm a peace treaty, a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. And in the middle of that peace treaty, he is going to go ahead and sever that and claim himself to be God. And that's when the great tribulation, the last half of the tribulation period, is going to take place. Now, we see that the Antichrist is going to come in and he's going to be revealed. The rapture will take place before the Antichrist is revealed. The tribulation starts with the Antichrist signing that 7-year peace treaty. That means, Christian, we're going to be gone. We're going to be gone. Now, buckle your seatbelt, because I'm going to go through some things real quick, and we're going to be done. What about the event? What's going to happen when the event takes place? Man, it's going to be a great time. And if you're saved, it ought to be shouting time and glory, amen? What's going to happen when the rapture takes place? The Bible says it'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be gone just like that and stand before God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15:52, it says it's going to happen at the last trump. I already explained that. When God sounds His last trump, we're moving to the next destination. That's called heaven. It's called heaven as a child of God. I want you to notice, the Lord Himself will come. We will see the one that died for us, that had the nails drove through His hands, that pierced His side. We'll see the marks on His brow where they put the crown of thorns upon His head. We're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and not another. Amen. The Lord Himself will come. The Bible says there's going to be a shout. I don't know what it's going to sound like. But I tell you what, when the archangel shouts and all the hosts of heaven shout with him, it's going to be a deafening noise. I kind of wonder if it's going to be like what Paul heard when he was on the road to Damascus. And all of a sudden he heard the Lord, but nobody else heard anything. It just sounded like thunder to them. Could you imagine when all the hosts of heaven shouts? And we stand before God and the world said, "Wow, something just happened. Where is everybody?" There's going to be a shout in heaven. Bible says the dead in Christ will raise. Those individuals that have passed away, whether it's this past year or 100 years or 200 years ago, if they were in Christ, they're going to be resurrected. And immediately after that, you say, "How long, preacher?" I don't know. I don't know. Maybe just 6 foot of time. I don't know. But when the dead in Christ are going to be raised, verse number 16, the living will be caught up. We're going to be raptured out. We're going to meet them in the air. We're going to stand before God. The living. Listen, the event's going to take place. We're going to be caught up. That's what the word rapture means, verse number 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, verse number 17. Meet the Lord in the air. There's going to be a meeting in the air. in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm gonna meet Him, greet Him over there in our land beyond the sky. What singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, it'll be glorious, I do declare, when God's own Son will be the leading one in the meeting in the air. Amen. I'm ready to shout now. I'm ready to just go ahead and jump. Maybe the Lord will catch me halfway. There's going to be a meeting in the air, but listen, the event, it's going to take place. What's going to happen? We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The Bible says that this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. This body that gets sick and gets tired and gets weary, and all the things that we have to deal with in this world, it's going to be gone forever, amen? And we're going to enter into heaven's glory. There's going to be no more sickness, and there's going to be no more pain, and there's going to be no more sorrow, and there's going to be no more death, and the former things are going to be passed away. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 21, it says, "Who shall change our vile body and make it like unto His glorious body at His appearing." Listen, we're going to have a changed body. "Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God," it says in 1 John 3 and verse 2. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." Listen, we're going to have a body like Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that you're all going to be 33 years old and male, all right? That doesn't mean that. But you're going to have a body that's going to be undefiled, and it's got a body that's not going to get sick, and a body that's not going to get tired. You're going to have the same resurrected body that Jesus Christ had. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord."
Amen.
When the trumpet sounds, Christian, when the trumpet sounds, there's no turning back. No turning back. "So shall we ever, forever with the Lord."
Amen.
Forever. And let me close with the warning. There's a rapture warning. Turn back to Matthew. Let's look at a few verses and I'll be done. Matthew 24. Verse number 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away." In other words, you've got it marked down. You've got God's promise. It's going to happen. It's going to happen during a time of unbelief. A time of unbelief. Look at verse 37 through 39. "But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You know, the Bible talks about it in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 5. "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person of righteousness, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." The Bible describes, Peter describes Noah as a preacher of righteousness. Who was he preaching to? He was preaching to the lost world. He was saying, "Judgment is coming. Get right with God. It's going to start raining. It's going to start pouring. You need to go ahead and save yourselves." He was a preacher of righteousness. But it says here in the book of Matthew that they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. May I suggest to you that there's a lot of things that we may have heard, well, we really just don't know them. We may have heard some things, but to know something means to have a personal understanding of it. I really believe that Noah, as he preached that the judgment of God was coming, but they knew it not. They did not personally accept what was being said. They knew it not. I want you to notice, it'll happen during a time of unbelief. It'll happen during a time of apathy. Boy, are we living there in those days now. Verse number 43. "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Oh, preacher, I've got plenty of time. I'm going to live for myself. After all, there's a party I got to go to this week. I'm not going to get right with God. I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it, and you're not going to tell me what to do. Yeah, we'll see how that works out for you in 10 years. Amen? It's going to happen during a time of apathy. And then, I want you to notice it's going to cause great separation. Great separation. Two's going to be grinding in a mill. One's going to be taken, the other one left. Two's going to be in the field. One's going to be taken, the other one left. Listen, what a warning. What a warning. How many of you got good friends? You got some good friends? Amen. Don't let them miss the rapture. Don't let them miss the rapture. Take the gospel to them. How many of you got some family members that are lost? Can I see your hand? Family members? Unless they get saved, they're going to be left behind. You'll be taken, and they'll be left. It causes great separation. And then, last, it'll be followed by judgment. Look at verse 45 and following. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and begin to smite his fellow servants and to drink or to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looketh not for him, and in the hour that he is not aware of. And he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, when the rapture takes place, there's going to be judgment. Judgment for the child of God when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're judged according to what the Lord has given us and how that we've labored for Him. And judgment, listen, upon those who reject Christ as their Savior in a place called hell. There's going to be judgment that's going to follow. But the question is this, and the question that I have to ask, where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? The most important question that you could be faced with today, where am I going to spend eternity? Either you're going to end up spending eternity in a place called heaven, or you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. Jesus Christ already paid the payment for you. The question is, what are you going to do with Christ? Where are you going to spend eternity? Let's bow our heads, please. The rapture of the redeemed. When it takes place, for the child of God, what a great time it's going to be. If you're saved today, you ought to look forward to the second coming of Christ. But if you're lost, you better go ahead and get saved now. You better get saved now. In just a moment, we're going to have the piano and the organ play a verse of invitation, and we're going to invite you to come. Come and trust Christ. Maybe come and gather around the altar and say, Lord, please save this person. Please save my friend. Please save my family member. Maybe you just need to sell out to God. Maybe there's things in your life that you need to get taken care of. Do you want to stand before God with sin in your life? Unrepented sin? As a Christian, you ought not. But most of all, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Father in heaven, Lord, I do pray that you just bless in a great way. Help us, Lord, to be ready for the rapture. It is soon going to happen. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for going to the cross and bleeding and dying for us that we might have eternal life. We would repent of our sins and call upon you as our Savior. Now, Lord, I do ask and pray, Lord, that you would just bless this invitation. Save those that are lost. Quicken those that are saved, I pray, to the things of God, and we ask it in Jesus' name.